What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and we're going to take a phone call. Al in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I hope you're doing well, and hope Lady Claire's doing better.
She is doing better. I decided it was still not prudent for her to do our third hour today. She's downstairs in her her glider chair, just resting and watching TV.
Well, that's really hit her hard.
Yes.
I sent you an email. It was a link to a CBC article a day or two ago. I want you to just take a quick look at it. In the meantime, I want to chime in about the these gearboxes and the windmills. They're basically a transmission, and there's no transmission out there that I'm aware of that would last 25 years without any service, without any kind of bearing replacement or anything like that. So I was aware that of that windmill that got knocked down at Chatham, which is basically, you know, Chatham's kind of a different area in Ontario. It's really flat. You know, it's not as big as Kansas or anything. But I mean, honestly, Mike, I hope this isn't rude to say this, but it's basically flat or piss on a plate. You can see forever when you're driving down the highway in Chatham. Anyway, so this article in the CBC is basically about you want to talk about a dictatorship. It's about the government, and what they have done is they've changed the rules for Youth Center Jobs Program, which basically allows people to tap into federal funds in order to hire students during the summer. And under the new rules, applicants must agree by marking a box on an electronic form that they respect charter rights, including women's rights and women's reproductive rights. Without that confirmation, you're not going to get any funding. Yeah, you have to be pro-choice, Mike.
Yes.
I want to talk about a dictatorship.
That's totally out there.
The Constitution. So you thought your country was bad.
Well, actually, no. There's been some of that down here in the United States as well, where certain government contracts and funding. Yeah, you have to basically in the contract stipulate that you support this or that agenda. And that's really a terrible thing to do because you're coercing people. You may be forcing them to lie. And one of the reasons why these projects go so out of control in terms of cost and budget is everyone's thinking about the political dimensions. Let's just get on back to getting certain things done. I'm going to give you funding to build a light rail. Forget about what your personal beliefs and politics are. Let's just get the darn light rail system working.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? I can't, you know. And it, like this article, it generated almost 10,000 comments, which is a lot, you know, for CBC comment board. So, and I've read some of them, and wow, like this did not go over well at all. And even from, you know, the left, it didn't go over well. Because, you know, mm-hmm. there are some people that are liberal that, you know, don't really believe in, you know, this abortion issue. And I mean, you know what? It's your business. You can do with what you want with your body. But at the same time, don't come crawling, you know, to the government expecting them to take care of you because you've made a mistake. It shouldn't work that way either. You know what I mean? You have to take responsibility for your actions. It's a very simple concept to understand. Some people don't get it.
Well, it is, but people don't understand it. Remember when Jesse Ventura was governor, and he came on in a press conference because there were these women's groups that were out there demanding state funding for their abortions, and Jesse Ventura came on out and said, why is the state government, why are the taxpayers responsible for the choices that you've made? And boy, you would have thought that he'd just set everybody on fire around there from the reactions. Unfortunately, we're in the bread and circuses phase of the history of our nation, where everybody's getting this idea that if they just scream loud enough and they vote for the Democrats, they're going to get all kinds of free stuff. Liberals love to spend other people's money, but when other people run out of money is when it all starts to come apart.
Yeah, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? I mean,
yeah, it's too often it's true. too often it's true. But it really is. And I think the downside, well, there's a lot of downsides to this trying to persuade the people to continually be more dependent on the government, is that they lose all respect and sense of responsibility for themselves. You know, they're doing whatever the government is telling them to do. Therefore, when something goes wrong, it's the government's fault and the government should pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the next evolutionary step to instant gratification. You know, this idea that you go out, you get yourself into hock for a couple million years just so you can have something right away. I mean, it makes perfect sense that governments would do that. Not to mention, in Ontario, they've already started a pilot program of a guaranteed basic income. So they've taken, you know, a group of people, whoever they are, maybe some of them are on disability, maybe some of them are, you know, long-term welfare recipients, whatever, and they've thrown at them, I think it's like $1,700 a month. I think there's about 10,000 people that get that, to see how it works. The end question is, where does all this cash come from?
Because that was the first thing that occurred to me. Where's all this money coming from? You know, who's doing
exactly
the work to produce this money?
Yeah, I mean, you just can't, you know, central banking doesn't work. We all know that, but you just can't create something and expect to use it as a medium for barter and exchange and not think that, you know, you can't just create this into infinity and everything will be okay. It just doesn't work that way. You know?
No, it really doesn't.
We're human.
And, you know, now, let me be clear here. Yes, there are fragile members of our society who do need assistance. But this idea of just giving everybody $1,700 a month, that can't possibly work. First of all, where's that money coming from? And, yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, who's paying for it all?
Well, the taxpayer is paying for it all. And not to mention, minimum wage in Ontario, January 1st, went up 24%. It went from $11.40 to $14 an hour in one fell swoop, right after Christmas, when people had the least amount of money all year. This is what they did. And, of course, some of these companies, you know, are fighting back by not giving their employees the paid 15-minute breaks, you know, twice a day, and you know, all sorts of other things, benefits and whatnot. So, I mean, there is a backlash, and the Premier of Ontario has the balls to go out and say, well, these people are bullies. Well, who mandated this minimum wage hike? Isn't that bullying? It's by force. The government did this by force like they do everything else. You either do it or you're going to go to jail or whatever else they're going to do to you, right? It's ridiculous.
Well, Here's the issue. People who are working have to be able to trade their skills and their labor for decent wages and salaries in order that money gets pumped back into the economy. That's just the way that it works. Both Canada and the United States are dealing with a huge amount of wealth inequality, and there does need to be some kind of a correction, because we reach a point where all the money is concentrated at the top and there is insufficient currency at the bottom for the economy to function. And where that shows up is where workers are not being paid decent amounts of money, and therefore they can't pour it back into the economy, and the system starts to lock up.
Yes. I would rather have seen some kind of tax incentive, like just cutting taxes for anyone that makes under $20,000. You don't pay any income tax. Or better yet, go after the people that are making the $5, $10, $20, $80, $100 million a year and tax them 100%, like the United States used to do. Canada used to do it too. They have so many loopholes that they're not paying anywhere near 100%, but they're going to be paying more than they're paying now. And there's no way that they're not, you know, that's going to stall the economy, because it's already been proven that trickle down doesn't work anyway.
No, it doesn't. No, and I'm tired of being trickled on by all these rich people.
Yeah, they're trickling down your back, Mike, and they're calling it rain.
Yes, absolutely. And, well, see, the problem is politicians are sellouts, and rich people will always work on getting the politicians to shift the tax burden back onto ordinary people. And the economy becomes more and more unstable because of the wealth inequality. until finally it locks up. This idea of the government guaranteeing a universal basic income to everybody, you're going to run out of taxpayers to fund that. It cannot be made to work. Yes, you can get it to look like it's working with a small test group, but on a national basis, no, there's no way you can get it to work.
No, it's going to it's doomed. It has to be that way. Even I think Norway or Switzerland had a similar idea, and they decided, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to scrap it, because you know they look at it a little closer than what's happening right here and you know in this country. So you know what do you do? I mean, you know, there's this big tax cut in the United States now. Apple's saying they're going to repatriate this, and I think there's like $2 or $3 trillion of unrepatriated dollars sitting overseas in the United States. I mean, once that all gets comes back, then what? Then what'll happen?
Well, it's going to go into the financial system. It's not going to be. It's not going to get down to the ordinary people, and that's just the ugly reality of that. People seem to have forgotten. People have forgotten the wisdom of Henry Ford, and of course, we all remember Henry Ford. He invented the assembly line to make cars affordable to ordinary people, and his wisdom was simply that the best way to become prosperous is to make the community around you prosper. And basically his thinking was that the more wages he paid his workers, it allowed them to buy the cars they were making, which became his best advertising. But he basically understood that the more ordinary people around you are being paid, the more they're going to have to spend to buy what you are manufacturing and selling. And our current business mentality is just so rooted in, you know, multi-million dollar bonuses for the CEOs. That they've just turned into these money-grubbing people who want to cheat their own employees, cheat their customers, and you know, they seem to think it's perfectly okay. It's acceptable behavior.
Yeah, they're a bunch of golems. Didn't Henry Ford also say that if the people understood the banking system, there'd be riots in the streets?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, smart guy. Anyway, thanks for your time, Mike. I hope Claire's doing better soon. Thank you.
Well, me too, and she is doing a little better, but I'm having to sort of keep her from doing anything strenuous and stressful. All right, well, thank you very much. We're going to let you go and switch over to Charlie in Los Angeles. Aloha, Charlie. First of all, I'm going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining our network. So, Charlie in Los Angeles, what's on your mind today?
Today is immigration. I would say when it comes to Trump, you believe all you see and can prove and nothing you hear. You know, I know people on the ground in Clark County, Nevada, and the Filipinos and the Chinese and the Asians are still coming in right off the boat. Okay? Now, Trump doesn't like people from countries that know Israel. They've either been in combat with them or they're Islamic countries. He doesn't want the people that know the Jews. But if you wouldn't come here and work two jobs and work for nothing and keep the wages down, that's good for Trump's buddies. So I don't think Trump's doing anything on immigration except for satisfying the Israeli and the AIPAC lobby. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. You've got it. Thank you for your comments there. And we're going to go over to Terry in California. Aloha, Terry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. That conversation you just had with a gentleman from Canada, where's the money coming from? I've had this question for a long time. And that's exactly why we have to audit the Fed. And that's why they're so defensive about it. It's because all the games are playing with this money. And by the way, you might find some stuff going to Israel too. Some big bulks of that money they're printing going over there. But there's only one way to find out, and that's to audit the Fed.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think that the Fed should be audited. Ron Paul was certainly pushing for that, which I think is why there was such political opposition to him when he ran for president. They were absolutely terrified that if he got the White House, he would say it's time to audit the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve, I mean, they've gone as far as literally dropping hints that they would deliberately crash the economy if there was a full audit of the Federal Reserve. And along with where some of that money has been going, the reason the Federal Reserve is afraid of a full audit is they're afraid of what the reaction will be from the American people when it's revealed just how much wealth this paper and ink scam has extracted from the American people's labor over the last 100 years, because it's an immense amount of money for little more than printing presses, ink and paper, and numbers in a computer. And it really is a scam.
Well, it's not only the American people. They're afraid about the rest of the world, because they're based on, it was based on the reserve dollar of the United States. And
you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. If the Federal Reserve were revealed to be such a gigantic fraud here in the U.S., other nations would start looking very closely at their privately owned central banks. And, you know, that's why when the United States was first started up, where the government issued its own money and did not borrow it from banks, that's why Europe was so opposed to the United States. When Lincoln came along with his greenbacks, Europe literally was going to aid the Confederacy to destroy Lincoln and reimpose private central banking on the American people. The only reason they didn't was Russia intervened to stop Europe. A lot of people don't know that aspect of the history of the American Civil War. There were Russian warships off the coast, both coasts of the United States, to protect the United States from outside interference during the Civil War.
Right. You know, the other thing that blows my mind about the amount of money is that when Rumsfeld said we can't account for $2.3 trillion the night before 9/11, I mean, how can you not account for some of $2.3 trillion? And everybody said, oh, well, after the war started. But no, I mean, they have to get some, hire all five accounting firms to go in there and go through all the books, everything. And find out who's lying.
The total amount of money the Pentagon claims to or admits it's misplaced is somewhere around $8 trillion. Actually, interestingly enough, when Donald Rumsfeld got up there and made the admission about the $2.3 trillion, I think that was the number, there actually were accountants working in the Pentagon trying to find where that money went. But the very next day, 9/11 happened, and the airplane that struck the Pentagon actually flew around the Pentagon and came in from the other side, and it crashed right into the offices where the bookkeepers were working. And so all the paper records were destroyed. So wherever that $2.3 trillion went, whoever got away with it clean.
Well, they should have a law. There's, everything's on computers now. There's got to be some kind of digital backup held somewhere else. And maybe a couple other places. Maybe even the blockchain. You know, that way they can't cheat. And so, you know, we're tired of that. And $700 billion for defense every year, $700 billion, almost a trillion. And,
yes.
And then Trump comes up and says, I mean, $700 billion is more than half the world. And then
yes.
Trump says, we can't do it on that. We've got to come up with another $54 billion. Now, and then Mattis now is saying we have to, well, he's just talking about the government shutdown, obviously. But,
yes.
You know, what and as you said, I think that Putin's doing it all for $66 billion, and he's coming out with superior weapons to what we have.
Well, military procurement in this country is just a big, huge money-making operation for everybody that's involved with it. And we've all heard the stories about, you know, $70 hammers and $40 washers and $800 toilet seats. It's because it's this huge supply chain, and everybody along there is making money, and they're all tied in with the political system. Eisenhower called it the military-industrial complex, and in his farewell address to the United States, he issued the warning, saying that this huge armaments industry and had enough political power to literally start reshaping the nation's economy around itself, and it absolutely did. I saw a huge amount of waste when I was involved with military projects or early in my career. And it's just stunning how they go through the money. But for them, it's normal behavior. Anyway, Terry, we got to take a break.
I'm sorry, we got the music. We got announcements coming up. So, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you for the call. We'll be back with another phone call after these few words.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the telephones. Dino in Chile, thank you for waiting so patiently. What is on your mind today?
Well, I mean, I just feel like we are going to be slaves forever, and that when they took our money and they exchanged it for pieces of paper, because we used to hold silver, gold, and copper and nickel in our pockets, and if we didn't like something, we could just keep that wealth in our pockets, and collectively that was very powerful. Even here in Chile, the peso is now worth nothing. One peso is the size of your fingernail, but a peso used to be a solid silver ounce, just like a dollar, which actually means 1 ounce of silver. And so, you know, I don't think we're ever going to get away from these people. I think the only way is to ignore them somehow, grow your own food, try to be self-sufficient. Certainly get out of there.
That's now being made illegal in the United States more and more. Self-sufficiency is being criminalized. You're not allowed to collect rainwater on your own property. You're not allowed to grow food crops on your own property in many places now. They want us dependent on the banks, and they want us dependent on corporations. They want everything to be commoditized, so we have to buy it, and then they automate so nobody has a job with which to buy that stuff. And you're right. People should be more independent and self-sufficient, but you know, there's active steps by the government and corporations to make that impossible. So we are caught between the rock and the hard place. And you're right, it's a form of slavery, or if you prefer, feudalism or serfdom. The only way we're going to break free of it is if there is a global economic crash that brings all these private central banks down, that the people of every country stand up and say, no more private central banks. We're going to have an honest monetary system where the currency is a unit of value instead of a unit of debt that's accruing interest to a bunch of bankers.
We could get together and just ignore them for 30 days, just be self-sufficient for 30 days and ignore them. They would come crashing down. I think a lot of it is location. I moved to Chile, and the government here is afraid of the people. The police do not act the same as they do in the United States. You can grow anything you want. Sure, there's a government. Sure, there's corruption at the top. Sure, there are banks that use fractional reserve. But here, you go look at Google Earth, look at the south of Chile. You see thousands and thousands and thousands of family-owned farms. If you do the same thing on Google Earth in the United States, they're all giant corporate farms. They're all very
yes.
square and rectangle and right angles. Here, it's different. I tell people, you know, Chile is not a paradise, but you should consider coming here because we do have freedom like the old ways in the United States. Liberty and market capitalism is on the street every day down here. It's amazing.
Well, it sounds very, very pleasant. And I've had a lot of people from Chile email me and say it actually is a great place to live compared to the United States of America. And I don't know that Claire and I would want to move to Chile. I don't even know if Chile would be willing to have us at our age. But we are hoping this year that we will get back to the U.S. mainland, especially after that scare last Saturday.
Come down to Chile. You can come down here on a tourist visa, and then even with your radio show income, people on Social Security, if you have any Social Security above $600 a month, you qualify for permanent residency here. You can qualify for a bank account. Social Security actually sends your check directly to a bank here in Chile, and that qualifies you for personal residency or permanent residency. Land is cheap. You can buy a house in 20 acres for less than $100,000. And, you know, I implore people to Google Earth Con Chile.
Well, I'll think about it. I remember there was a time when I was working down in Australia where the company I was working for wanted to hire me permanently and offered to help me attain Australian citizenship, and I came this close. But there's a part of me that says I was born in the United States. I'm not ready to give up the fight of restoring that republic. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's a nice invitation. It's a nice daydream. Okay.
Yeah, I made it a reality pretty easily, and I keep my American citizenship, and in two more years, I'll have also a citizenship in Chile. So I'll have dual citizenship, and like Thomas Jefferson, you know, sometimes the patriots have to walk away when we need to just sort of look at our country from a different angle.
Well, we can look at the country from a different angle without having to take too many steps. I mean, that's certainly what I've been doing here on this radio show and website, which has consumed like a third of my life now. I keep looking back on it and say, wow, have I really been doing this all these years? But this will be 24 years since I started the first political blog. I've been doing talk radio now for 11 years. There are times when I say, boy, I wish I was doing something else. I wish I didn't need to do this, but the need is very clearly there. And as long as the need is there, both Claire and I are going to continue to work because things really are bad in the United States, and we get to see it every day when we look at the homeless and the hungry. And again, the wealth inequality is ultimately going to crash our economy. Anyway, Dino, thank you for the very charming report on Chile. It's certainly pleasant to think about. We're going to take another break for commercials, back with another phone call after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And before we go back to the telephones here, a breaking story. Apparently, the Justice Department is going to retry Senator Menendez on his corruption charges. Now, you remember, he was put on trial. The jury deadlocked, and it was declared a mistrial. And so apparently the Justice Department is saying that the conduct alleged in the indictment is serious and warrants a retrial before a jury of citizens in the District of New Jersey. And they're pushing for the earliest possible retrial date. Now, Menendez, or at least his spokesman, is out there saying, well, you're not hearing the overwhelming voices of the New Jerseyans who served on the jury during the first trial. In other words, as long as Senator Menendez is loved by the people of New Jersey, you should leave him alone. It actually doesn't really work that way. And of course, they're going on to say, think about all this horrible waste of taxpayer money to retry Senator Menendez. Well, if you want to talk about waste of taxpayer money, look at the wars. $2 billion every single day is being spent on all these wars all across the globe. Okay, let's go back to the phones here. Frank in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike. Excuse me. Something down my throat the wrong way there. I guess it's a sign of age. A little flapper thing.
Oh, don't talk to me about signs of age. I'm living with that every single day. I can't even pretend I'm middle-aged anymore.
Hey, I was talking to an old buddy of yours the other day. Now, I know he's no longer, you're not on such good terms with him, and you don't talk to him anymore, but he told me, he said, look, he said, Frank, what you need to do is get on board and help me, help you, help the country. He was praising Benjamin Netanyahu as an American hero and someone that we all need to support. Now, I know I used to hear you on Alex Jones a decade plus ago, probably. I used to have recordings of your interviews on there and whatnot. But, I mean, the Alex Jones of a decade ago, 2007, 2008, he could have never gotten away with saying that kind of thing. His listeners wouldn't have allowed it. He wouldn't have even considered. He wouldn't have even entertained the possibility of making such statements. And now, you know, I remember this isn't the first time he's done it. I think he did that another time I was talking with him. But he actually said that Benjamin Netanyahu is worthy of our praise and admiration and our support. What happened? What the hell happened?
Well, you know, Alex has always been a big supporter of Israel. In fact, there's a YouTube video, if you want to hunt for it, from very early in his career, where he said, you know, I'm a supporter of Israel, and I always will be. And at that point, money started pouring in that let him build this huge media empire that he's got. And obviously, we know that Benjamin Netanyahu, first of all, he's not American, let alone a hero. We know he's facing major corruption charges. We know that the government that he leads routinely engages in violations of international law, humanitarian crimes against the Palestinians. But again, you know, Israel relies on controlled media to keep putting out a positive pro-Israel, anti-Palestinian message.
Okay, so you're saying that perhaps Alex Jones is controlled media?
Well, he's gone corporate. You know, he's been mentioned in the other corporate media a few times. He's got a huge corporation, and a lot of the people who work around him, they're all very pro-Israel. It's not an objective staff. There's no real debate going on there. But again, when he makes a comment like that Netanyahu is an American hero and he deserves our respect and admiration, you know, where's that coming from? What is his justification for saying such a thing? It's certainly not based on the behavior of Netanyahu himself.
Well, was Benjamin Netanyahu not born in America? Didn't he come up like in a certain area of Pennsylvania along with a lot of other known criminals?
He might have. I could be wrong on that, but he's certainly not in America now. And what he's doing in Israel doesn't make him an American hero.
But he's praiseworthy, according to Alex Jones. We need to get
on board. Well, that's Alex Jones' point of view, and you're right. We don't see eye to eye on that. I mean, I'm not carrying a hatchet on that or anything. But yeah, when I was on Alex Jones' show, and you know, I'm still grateful to Alex. He got me my start in talk radio over there at Genesis. But every time I would criticize Israel, I kept getting all these emails that as soon as I was off the air, Alex would have somebody on there saying why I was being an anti-Semite and why I was wrong and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, eventually it got to be personal where Alex came on out and said that anybody who was not supporting Israel was mentally retarded or the equivalent words. And when he got personal like that, at that point, I left Genesis, and I went to RBN, TogiNet. I've been like about four or five networks over the years, and now, of course, I'm back home here at RBN.
I notice he doesn't allow. I haven't heard Wayne Mattson, you know, former NSA associated whistleblower. He doesn't let him on anymore. I got him back on there at one point because I was complaining, why don't you have Wayne Mattson on? Started having him on again there for a little while. You know, it's interesting, though. There is one guy, Dr. Steve Pachinik. He still allows him to come on there every now and then, and he'll even ask him. I mean, it couldn't have been more than a year and a half or two ago. He flat out asked him, you know, just to kind of show, look, I'll ask the question. He asked Steve Pachinik, who did 9/11?
Steve Pachinik, without hesitation, said Israel. But yet we're supposed to support, you know, we're supposed to support Israel. I mean, you know, somebody like me, I believe Benjamin Netanyahu was intimately involved in many facets of the attacks of 9/11. And yet he wants me, I mean, he's like the father. He's known as like the father, the godfather of 9/11 truth and all that. I just don't see how his listeners let him get away with that. Anyway, I'll let you go.
All right, well, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. I actually don't know what Alex Jones' current listener numbers are, whether they're going up or going down. I know the numbers are going up at whatreallyhappened.com, especially since the new server got put in, and I'm still dealing with fixing all the problems there. But it is blazingly fast, and apparently people are enjoying it, and I noticed this morning the numbers were up considerably. And, of course, our listenership here at RBN. Kind of hard to figure out what it is. We're not on Arbitron, but we do know that the streams are pretty much maxed out all the time. We know we're carried on a lot of Part 15 hobby transmitters across the country. And so, yeah, we've got a huge audience out there. Okay, now, getting on back to the world of computers and computer equipment here, and I've been sending this article actually to my own advertisers to put them on the lookout for that, because apparently one of my advertisers is again breaking the rules, and apparently this only affects people using iPhones, but when you go to my website, there'll be this pop over for coupons.com, which apparently is very difficult to get rid of unless you avail yourself of whatever it is that they're offering. And until you get rid of it, you can't get to the site. And, you know, the rules are, I have a specific set of requirements for my advertisers. Pop-unders are okay. Pop-overs are not allowed. So we're trying to track down who's doing this. So this article here came out of FastCompany.com saying that there is a new wave of bad ads that's even hijacking top-tier websites. And it says, over the past couple of weeks, internet users have been complaining of a new wave of hard-to-close, misleading, and malicious ads popping across websites big and small. Some of the ads even make it impossible for people to read news and other content by redirecting browsers to spammy sites or popping up mobile app store pages for undesired software. And apparently it's even hit publishers like the New York Times and the Atlantic, and experts are saying the problem is with an extremely complex online advertising system that makes it hard for publishers involved to track down where these ads are coming from, and that's the problem that I'm dealing with. I know who my advertisers are. I'll see an offending ad, and I'm trying to track it back, and it goes to this forwarding server and that forwarding server and that forwarding server. It's set up deliberately to protect these abusive advertisers. And it is a real headache to have to deal with. And unfortunately, I'm not in a position where I can survive without the ad revenues just yet. however, I will share an insight from the many years that I worked in advertising. Because in the early days of computer animation, only commercials could afford the high cost per second of running time for computer animation. And I was back at a company called Robert Abel & Associates, which is one of the pioneers of the industry. And so I spent a lot of time learning not only about computer animation, but about advertising in general. And the one thing you don't want to do is annoy the people receiving your ad. If you annoy them, they're going to turn off. You're not going to make that sale. So you want to make your ads very beautiful and very alluring, which is what we did at Robert Abel & Associates. We did an ad for a Corvette. It was one of TV's first 90-second commercials. And it was so popular, people were literally calling the TV stations, when are you going to run that one again? I want to see that again. That's how you get people to buy your product. They want to see that commercial. They get excited about it. When Claire and I were doing local advertising, radio and TV, our path was humor. We made ads that were funny. People would be laughing about that, find out what was going on. Another way that you do that is you open a commercial by posing a question. Get them thinking. Get the potential customer involved. You have to lure them in. You can't just bludgeon them with ads. And I know there seems to be a lot of money flowing through this abusive ad industry because they're being paid just for you to see the ad. They're not being paid whether the ad is effective or not. So they're out there just to generate as many views as they can any way that they can. And it's not just the advertisers themselves. There's a ton of hijackware out there now that will get into your device, and they'll basically, when you go to a website, it will block the ads coming from that website and substitute its own. And this is very unethical behavior, but apparently there are advertisers who are willing to go along with this kind of approach to get their ads out there. Now, one of the things you need to watch out for right now, there's a WhatsApp scam that's going around where basically you will get an email saying that your WhatsApp subscription has run out. Now, WhatsApp is free. There is no subscription. But they'll basically include instructions to receive a lifetime subscription for a small fee, and it's being used to basically get payment information details. And if you get something like that, you should delete it immediately. One other scam, and if you've clicked on it, run your antivirus because it plants malware as well. One of the scams I've seen coming around here lately is a notification that your domain name registration is about to run on out. Now, my domains are all registered at one place. I have a lot of domains I take care of besides whatreallyhappened.com. And so I'll recognize this email is coming from some other company. And what they want you to do is you say, oh, my goodness, I'm going to lose my domain. You send them a payment, and then they put through the request to basically move the domain from where you originally registered it to their domain name registration. Also very underhanded, very unethical. So you got to look very carefully at any email that says that something is about to expire because they're trying to panic you and goad you into doing whatever it is that's in their interest to do. Now, as you know, Brigitte Bardot came out the other day slamming the Me Too movement, saying it's hypocritical for all these actresses to be out there screaming they were harassed, when the reality is that actresses are out there trying to seduce directors and producers to get better roles in the films and TV productions. And yes, they do. I saw a lot of it when I worked in Hollywood. Well, now another actress, Catherine Deneuve, has come on out saying that this Me Too frenzy is depriving men of the freedom to even approach women. And she's saying, far from being some kind of a liberation campaign, it's patronizing women. It's punishing men for minor misdeeds. And the only people who benefit from that are the Puritans, the ones who think men and women should never get together. And men are being punished summarily, forced out of their jobs. All they did was touch someone's knee or try and steal a kiss. Actually, I would consider that a little inappropriate as well, but not worth destroying somebody's job for. But instead of helping women, this frenzy to send the men to the abattoir is helping the enemies of sexual liberty, religious extremists, and the worst sort of reactionaries. So there's a growing backlash to all of this nonsense, and I'm glad it's starting to happen. Because I got to see all of this happening down in the late 1990s with the militant feminist movement, which was declaring that all men were rapists, and even a handshake was a prelude to rape. And it really did get completely out of control. Along that same line, a two-year rape case against an Oxford University student has been dropped just days before his trial was scheduled to start after a new set of eyes reexamined the Crown Prosecution Service case against him. Apparently the student, Oliver Mears, 19 years old, from Surrey, was being trained to become a successful scientist before he was arrested on suspicion of raping and indecently assaulting a woman at a party in 2015. And apparently the trial was about to start, and the Crown Prosecution Service, there had been a turnover of staff. They looked at the case file and realized there wasn't anything there. It was just some of this get the men frenzy. And so they've dropped the trial. And somebody needs to apologize to him, but I'm sure the student is breathing a sigh of relief. But again, the damage has been done. His name was in the papers, accused of rape. That's going to impact the rest of his career. But it seems like just groundless accusations is now the dominant mode of social interaction in our country. Everyone's crying rape or assault. We had a situation like that when I was working on Lost, cost somebody their job. And I knew the guy who got fired. He was a nice guy. I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But I think it was definitely an overreaction to what had happened. And I think there ought to be like a three strikes, you're out kind of a deal. Like you cross the line once, you touch somebody's knee once, you get a warning. And after three warnings, then you get fired. But fire it on the first offense, that's an overreaction. We'll be back with the last segment of our show after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, yesterday we were talking about how Russia, knowing that the United States is going to stop purchasing rocket engines for the Atlas V, is now talking with China as a new marketplace. And we were talking about how Russia's space agency is concerned because with the ending of the sales of rocket engines to the United States and with the ending of the U.S. relying on Russia to get astronauts to the space station, that was going to be a significant hit on their revenue. Right now, Russia charges $8 million for a ride to the International Space Station. I asked them for a discount. They said no. That's how these things go. Well, apparently the timetable for the U.S. to end its reliance on Russia's space program is all of a sudden proving to be problematic because the NASA has contracted Boeing and SpaceX to build a new spaceship to be able to take people to and from the International Space Station. And the original contract called for certification and regular flights with astronauts by the end of last year, but that hasn't happened. They're behind schedule. Well, better that they're going to be careful and not rush the thing here, but we may actually be entering a period of time when the United States will not have any way to get their astronauts up to the space station. So we'll see what's going to happen then. Probably what will happen is they'll go back and say, yes, we need to buy more seats on the Soyuz. And Russia would probably respond by saying, yeah, but the price has gone up. Would not be surprised at all. Now then, a lot of people are both saying this is a good thing and a bad thing. It's an article coming out of Post News D2. And it's talking about how NASA is planning a small portable nuclear reactor to power a permanent habitat on Mars. And they're calling it the Kilopower. It's a small nuclear reactor that can generate a reliable power supply. Now, the article calls it the Pioneering Space Fission Power System. But I think this may be a case of sloppy reporting. Because what they're describing in terms of its size and its power output, it's basically a refinement of what was called SNAP, the Small Nuclear Applications Program that they built for things like the Voyager spacecraft. It does not use fission, which, as you know, requires constant positive control, carries with it the risk of meltdown. Basically, the SNAP reactors have a heat-generating radioisotope inside, one of the isotopes of plutonium. And it doesn't do fission. It's simple radioactive decay. As the plutonium decays to the lower elements, it gives off a tremendous amount of heat, and it can generate 10 kilowatts of electrical power. And obviously, this is a great solution. If it wasn't so expensive, it would be a wonderful thing for power in remote locations. And actually, there's a Japanese company that sells a radioisotope thermoelectric generator for places like installations in the Arctic or Antarctic. And, oh, there's the music. Okay, it's time for me to get on out of here. Stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got a lot of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you learn here and share it with everybody that you know. And have a good weekend. I'm going to go downstairs, take care of Claire. We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, like have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.